Tired of spending all evening looking for something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream, the new way to get Sky without a dish, where all your shows from all your apps and channels are in one place. Stream unmissable Sky exclusives like True Detective and The Regime starring Kate Winslet, and Netflix shows like The Gentlemen, all in one simple bill for just €25 a month for 12 months. Search Sky Stream today. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Requires broadband. The regime available 8th of April. Further terms apply.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
So he goes back a better player from this experience, and he'll have a few extra quid in his pocket, so, and possibly a medal in his pocket. It's a great move for him. It's good for Leinster in some ways, but in other ways, and I think I'm more leaning this way, I don't like it for Leinster either. I think the homegrown talent that they have, I really feel like they might curtail some of these things.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on the Indo Daily, Donald Trump's House of Cards.
Donald Trump just had one of the worst legal days of his entire life, which is saying something. And it comes amidst a set of accelerating threats from local, state, and federal law enforcement.
With the final investigative hearing into the Capitol Hill riot by the January 6th committee scheduled for tomorrow, Donald Trump is fighting fires on all sides in Washington, Florida, and New York.
Claiming you have money that you do not have does not amount to the art of the deal. It's the art of the steal.
As Trump, his children, and his business empire are all in peril, his excuses for his actions are getting more ridiculous than ever.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it. There doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be.
I'm Fionnuala Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by former CNN anchor and Sunday Independent columnist Gina London to look at the legal jeopardy facing Donald Trump and ask if this is the end of the line for the man known as Teflon Don.
Is this the final fire that will bring down the Trump House and make the Republican Party have to reassess its direction and its leadership and what it stands for? We shall have to see.
Gina, Donald Trump, no stranger to courtrooms and legal cases, but the latest case being taken against him by the New York Attorney General, quite a spectacular in terms of his business prospects for the future.
Following a comprehensive 3-year investigation by my office, including interviews with more than 65 witnesses and review of millions of documents, I am announcing that today we are filing a lawsuit against Donald Trump for violating the law as part of his efforts to generate profits for himself, his family, and his company.
Yes, absolutely. The New York Attorney General, Letitia James, who announced really when she took office in 2018 that she was going to peer the light into every corner of the Donald Trump organization, has now announced that there is a civil criminal lawsuit. And what she describes as staggering fraud. And so they're seeking to recover $250 million from his company and essentially run him and his family, at least his three oldest kids anyway, out of business in the state. And it's all around what they say is that he's been falsely inflating his assets to leverage for extensive bank loans and to duck some tax liabilities as well. So this is potentially really a big deal.
So basically dramatically inflating the cost of his largely speaking his property and real estate empire, which is obviously a legal offense because you're doing it in terms of bringing financial benefit to yourself.
Absolutely. For example, I mean, by billions of dollars, according to the multi-page lawsuit that she brought forward, he has, according to her, said that Mar-a-Lago, for example, was $750 million, when in fact it's been valid at $75 million. So that's several times the amount of what it is. And you're leveraging that in order to get extensive bank loans. And so the question then is, do you, as she says now, do you need to pay for the millions and millions of dollars that you've received under fraudulent reasons? And he actually went on Fox News on the heels of her announcement
Don't they have a fiduciary responsibility before they give you that amount of money?
So what they do...
To determine what the value is?
First of all, these are banks that have the best law firms in the world, the biggest and best and most powerful. They do their own work. They don't rely on us. But what they do is we have a disclaimer. And we put together... My people put it together. I would look at it, and it looked fine. But it's not overly important. What's important is the property. I have the best property. What happened, Sean, is we have a disclaimer right on the front. And it basically says, you know, get your own people. You're at your own risk. These are banks that have the best lawyers in the world, Sean.
To say that, hey, he put a disclaimer on all of the loan applications that they get that said, these are our findings. Go find them yourself. But these are official documents, and that's not how the law works. So this investigation, of course, began back when Trump's former lawyer, remember him, Michael Cohen, alleged in a hearing before the Congressional Committee that Trump had falsely been inflating his assets to do this. And so this is really could be the big turn in this long and winding road of legal challenges against Donald Trump and his organization and Eric, Ivanka, and Don Jr.
Yeah, tell us how the three kids come into it. I mean, effectively, they're being accused also of participating in this wide-ranging fraud.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, because the whole idea is that they're all part of the Trump business and that whether or not the company will be able to weather this storm, especially if you are taken out of not just the millions that you would have to necessarily pay, which they're, according to Eric Trump, who was on, it was interviewed recently, he said that they've actually paid a lot of their loans off and they've refinanced so that they actually are making money. Don't forget, they made $100 million on the sale of their Washington, D.C. hotel this year. And then there have been some other deals. And of course, Trump's golf clubs are attracting new tournaments like that controversial one backed by the Saudi Live Network. But it is important to know that the organization, as it's been run by each of his elder children, could also then be impacting them for their business deals going forward. So it's got a real ripple effect that could be the biggest challenge that he's expected to face so far.
So could be the end of Donald Trump as a business person based in New York. As such, he may have to move the operation lock, stock and barrel, say, to Florida or wherever else he decides upon.
Yeah, very well. But I mean, as you mentioned in your setup, don't forget that Trump's no stranger to legal battles aimed at his business. And he's faced loads of lawsuits over the years. And in the 90s, his business was near bankruptcy.
His empire could be at risk of collapse if the New Jersey Casino Commission decides not to approve Trump's bailout plan.
You know, I had a wife who was suing me for $2 billion. I had the banks. I had this. I had that.
So this current predicament could be, but let's wait and see.
Tell us about Letitia James. This is obviously puts her massively in the international spotlight.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting about her because Trump right away went on his Truth Social to, of course, to disparage her. And he calls her, interestingly, called her Letitia Peekaboo James. And there was a lot of speculation then when he went on and disparaged her and said that this is a witch hunt and that she's politically motivated, and people were rushing around trying to figure out what is the meaning behind his, again, as he's always want to make these nicknames, why is he calling her this? And there's been no determination of that, except for that it is one of those distraction things that Trump often does to get people thinking about the perimeter and not the core of what's going on. But Letitia James, interestingly, while he's saying, Trump is saying it's a politically motivated lawsuit, she's also already been making a big name for herself in New York since she came on. Now, she is considered a Democrat, but she also was her AG office is the one that took down the Democrat former governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, over the sexual harassment lawsuit. So she is out to not mess around. I think that's the best way to talk about Letitia James. And she also is pretty dramatic. I mean, I think she's a formidable match for Donald Trump in the sense that when he was saying those things about her, she's like, you know, I'm not afraid of you. And she also said when she made her announcement, she had, you know, when an AG office actually comes up with a rhyme, when she said, this is not the art of the deal, it's the art of the steal, which was her line as she made her announcement, You really feel like this is a formidable woman, so we shall see.
Trump, a long history, though, of really fighting legal cases against him quite aggressively. Now he has not exactly a New York City legal heavy hitter representing him a lot, but a woman, a lawyer by the name of Alina Habba, who again is adopting this role of tackling every challenge as it comes along for him.
This is a typical political stunt by the DNC. Not worried at all. No,
all right,
not at all.
All right, so
valuations are incredibly subjective, as you know.
Well, if you go through what I did to really geek out on the cases going and the litigation going against Donald Trump, there's a website that's run by the New York University Law School called justsecurity.org. And you can get into really the weeds on every case, countersuit, dismissal. You can follow the winding road. And what's interesting is that even on this charge from the Attorney General's office in the fraud civil lawsuit, Trump had already tried to make a motion that this was politically motivated and it was dismissed. So he's got his whole group of lawyers are working. There's several cases that are going on in New York, not to mention the cases that are going on in Washington, D.C. that have spun out from the January 6th riots on the Capitol. And of course, there's also that really interesting lawsuit, criminal investigation, I should say, that's going on in Georgia about his attempts to overthrow that narrow election for president in that state. And so there are a lot of windy roads going on in the legal world against Donald Trump right now.
So that's on a state level, in New York. Take us down then to the federal case emerging, I suppose, out of Mar-a-Lago, but really focusing on his time in Washington as president, and his, to put it mildly, treatment of classified documents. Where is that at?
Okay, so this one's very interesting in the sense that this, of course, is the in August when the FBI came in with a search warrant, came into Mar-a-Lago and got hundreds of documents, boxes of documents that then President Trump had taken from the White House after he was leaving office on January 20th. And there was a move by his team to get what was called a special master. I always thought that was an interesting term, never heard that before, to come in and stop the DOJ from reviewing those documents because they needed to be specially reviewed by this department, by the special master, this form semi-retired judge named Raymond Deary. So that halted everything for about 2.5 weeks. And then just recently now, interestingly, Raymond Deary comes forward and says, you know what? This whole issue of have you declassified them is irrelevant, because Donald Trump was even on Fox News with Sean Hannity just a while ago saying that he declassified everything.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it.
But the special master came forward and said, look, it doesn't matter if you declassified it or not, because all of that's a red herring. These are government documents, and you are not entitled to them after you leave the White House. They stay in the White House. They get moved to the National Archives. These are taxpayer documents. And so, in effect, now the DOJ have been given the opportunity to get back in and investigating those documents, and this process moves forward. So it's actually moving forward pretty quickly when you think about how I was just saying that the New York AG's office began investigating his organization on fraud 3 years ago. This is actually moving pretty quickly. And so this could be pretty serious in the sense that this is going on the grounds of taking government documents and could come with potentially an indictment, first ever, of a former president.
Yeah, so his Jedi mind trick excuse doesn't quite stack up in that regard. Meanwhile, you know, there is ongoing debate, though, across the states about this issue. Is it breaking down on purely partisan terms, or what are Republicans saying about the removal of these documents?
Well, of course, this is an interesting situation where we've got, as you and I are recording this right now, we're about 6 weeks away from the important midterm elections in the United States. And the Republicans have still been largely supporting the head of the Republican Party, which is Donald J. Trump. No matter of the all these impending suits that we're talking about, the one for the civil fraud suit going on in New York, the lawsuit that's happened, or the investigation that's really unfolding now and more quickly now with this special master not doing what the Trump's defense team had hoped by delaying it further. And then, of course, all those other civil cases and criminal cases that are going around as it's connecting Donald Trump to his potential incitement of January 6th riot on the Capitol. And yet you continue to see him going to rallies. And yet you continue to see Republican people who are running for office, candidates, having Donald Trump come to their rallies. And so at this point in time, there really is this stark division about what the Republicans might stand for and what the Democrats are standing for. And I think it's really important to note that amidst gun shootings, amidst the Supreme Court turning over Roe v. Wade and the abortion issue now becoming really a polarizing issue, driving people out to the polls potentially on Election Day on November 8th, there have also been surveys that have said, what's the number one thing that you're concerned about right now in the United States? Not inflation, not gas prices, not abortion rights, but the future of the democracy of the United States. And this is really startling.
And that brings us to the January 6th riots, insurrection, attempt to overthrow democracy, whatever way you want to call it. Where is the investigation in Congress at this point? And tell us about this phone call from the White House to a rioter on that day.
Well, this final investigative hearing is scheduled for this coming Wednesday, and this could be the biggest thing of what's going to come as they approach the end of their timeline. So no one is saying right now what the actual focus is going to be, but that it is going to be on the factual record and is potentially going to be even more sweeping than many of the other hearings, which those hearings have really been largely well received and surprising. And there have been a lot of elements that have been startling and not what people were expecting. And as you mentioned, if there is now this White House switchboard had connected to a rioter's phone during the attack on the Capitol last year, that is a significant development to the investigation. So the January 6th committee members are not commenting on the particulars of this, but this again is showing that there could be direct links from the White House to the rioters during that time of the several hours that there was no reaction from the president as this was ongoing. So this really could be another one of those jaw droppers that we've been hearing more and more of as these hearings have been going on.
And what ultimately could be the consequence of those hearings? What charges are we looking at potentially being brought against Trump at the tail end of those hearings?
Right. Well, as we know, the hearings themselves are not designed to actually, they can't, by the jurisdiction of what this committee is and the way Congress works, they're not going to be bringing any formal criminal charges. But the Department of Justice has, those charges would have to come from the DOJ, and the Department of Justice has already been asking for the evidence and the testimony and all the documents that the committee has been amassing during all this investigation. Now they'll be forwarded over to the DOJ, if many of them haven't been already, and then the DOJ is the one that will actually be assembling it and moving forward and potentially putting a ribbon around all the packaging that's already been done by these congressional committee members and their teams, and then they would be the ones that would actually be bringing forward any formal indictment or continued testimony or advancing the case in any way. But it's not gone when the committee hearings are over. Then the focus goes squarely onto the Department of Justice. And as we've already been talking, the Department of Justice is making very aggressive moves. The FBI agents went into Mar-a-Lago, took direct documents. The Department of Justice, which were the Attorney General of the entire United States, Merrick Garland, said he personally oversaw that warrant. So while Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, is not messing around, Department of Justice right now with Merrick Garland also not messing around. Is this the final fire that will bring down the Trump House and make the Republican Party have to reassess its direction and its leadership and what it stands for? We shall have to see.
Yeah, so at the moment, Trump, he's kind of like Wile E. Coyote in Roadrunner. He's kind of running off a cliff, hanging in midair with an anvil hanging over him that's going to fall to the ground and crush him. But can you see that end happening anytime soon? Or do you think Donald Trump can just continue to survive and keep fighting for another day?
Well, you're the one that used the Wile E. Coyote metaphor. And if it's that way, at the end of every cartoon, Wile E. Coyote still is unscathed. He comes back for another cartoon. If we're going to use a cartoonish figure, maybe this is an apt description or comparison, because he's still with us. Roadrunner, they're still chasing each other, but the coyote's still around.
And my thanks to Gina London. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode was produced by Mary Carroll, researched by Garrett Mulhall, with sound by Gavin Hennessy. Archive clips from MSNBC, The View, Fox News and CNN. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow and leave us a review.